Aha! Aha! What do you know from funny, you bastard?
The Jell-O Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra.
Thank you, thank you. This is Groucho Marx. Well, here I am, stepping in over my head again.
With Fibber McGee and Molly.
Folks, this is just as new to me as it is to you.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Well, what an original greeting.
Hello and welcome to another week of comedy, funny, ha-ha, on Dwayne Old Time Radio. One thing, please subscribe to my channel. If you enjoy what I'm doing, subscribing is 100% free. Then we have Lubman Abner. We're going to listen to them. Lubman Abner for the week. Multiple episodes from Lubman Abner. Multiple episodes. I believe we're going to listen to 4 episodes. They're all only about 14 to 15 minutes long, so they're quick listens. The first one is Operating the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau. I'm just going to run through these. Then we have Matrimonial Bureau Swamped by Mail from All Over Country. And then we have Reading Matrimonial Bureau Mail. And then we're going to end with Matrimonial Bureau to Move into Store. A lot of Matrimonial Bureau stuff going on. These aired from January 18th to January 23rd, 1935.
Ready to take you down the Pine Ridge for another visit with Lum and Abner, brought to you by the makers of Horlicks, the original malted milk. When in the midst of a busy day at your work or in your home, a heavy luncheon may cause you distress or leave you feeling drowsy because it's so hard to digest. That's why more and more people are turning to the Horlicks luncheon. A glass full of Horlicks is a refreshing and nourishing luncheon, energy-giving, sustaining, too. And you couldn't find a food more easily digestible. That's why Horlicks at noon keeps you alert, mentally and physically. Why busy people prefer Horlicks to the heavier, hard-to-digest luncheon. Overweight people will find the Horlicks luncheon a fine reducing plan, for it's without the heavier meal's excess of calories. Try the Horlicks luncheon tomorrow. You can get Horlicks, you know, in either natural or chocolate flavor at your drugstore. And now, let's get ready for Lum and Abner. Well, the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau is proving even more successful than Lum and Abner had hoped for. The old fellows are receiving hundreds of applications. And their only worry now seems to be the suit that Squire Skimp has brought against them for $4,200, which is scheduled to come up next week. As we look in on Pine Ridge today, we find Lum and Abner over at Lum's house, which they are using as headquarters for their new enterprise. Lum seems to be very busy. Listen.
Abner Peabody, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? Provide for her through sickness and health, and forsaken all others to love, honor, and obey her as long as you both shall live?
I do.
You will now join right hand, or left hand, or disjoin hand. By the power invested in me as Justice of the Peace of Cloverleaf Township, I now pronounce you man and wife. And now, my young friends, as you go out into life to grasp the skirts of happy chance, may your stream of life unruffled run, and the roses bloom without a thorn. $5, please. Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Dogger, you're sure aiming on putting on all the trimmings on this wedding, ain't you now?
Well, I feel sort of responsible for this wedding. I was the one that agged them into getting hitched.
Yeah, I recollect when you called them up on the phone the other day and was telling them what a good match they'd made.
Well, Ruth just never had nerve enough to ask her. They'd have been married long ago.
Yeah, well, now, do you want to go through it again now, Lum?
No, I believe I know it by heart now. I've got to start getting dressed up. They're supposed to be over here at 4 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. You want to change clothes, huh?
Well, I just slip on a neck collar and tie and put on my frocktail coat.
Yeah.
I don't mind to put myself a little bother when I'm getting $5 this way.
Well, I thought you told Ruth on the phone the other day she'd make him a special price of $2.50.
Well, I did, but like I told him this morning, that's just for the regular cut and dried ceremony. For $5, I could give him a first-class wedding with all the trimmings.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be the first cash money that we've took in a long time, won't it?
We?
Well, we're sort of... Well, the partner in this matrimonial deal.
Yeah, but this ain't got nothing to do with our matrimonial business. This is sort of a sideline with me. This is justice of the peace.
Yeah. Well, I wish we'd start getting some money in pretty soon so that I can send for Elizabeth and Pearl. I got a hearing from Elizabeth this morning just raising the roof because I hadn't sent her money for her and Pearl to come home on.
And another letter?
Yeah, she said her relations is getting tired of feeding them. That's what she said.
Well, she ought to understand, Abner, that you just ain't got the money to send her.
Well, the trouble of it is, Lon, see, I ain't told her that the oil well weren't oil well. She thinks we're still rich.
You mean you ain't told her that we sold out to Squire Smith?
No, I ain't told her nothing about it. I just never wanted to ruin a trip for her.
Well, law me, Abner. When she gets home and finds out that we've lost the store and never made no money out of the oil business, on top of everything else, that Squire Skimps is suing us for $4,200 and has got everything we own tied up with attachment papers, he's going to hire an attorney.
Yeah, I know, and I know she is. I just don't know what to do about it, hardly.
And you're a great one to be the head of the domestic problem department of our matrimonial bureau when you can't even run your own home.
Well, what would you do about it, Mom? I suppose I'd rather tell her while she's down there so far away that she can't throw nothing at me, but... I'm afraid if I do tell her, she'll just stay down there in Texas and not come home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't want to advise you on that problem just offhand, Mr. Peabody. If you write your troubles to the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau, I'll be glad to study the situation over and that... Oh, my goodness, there's somebody at the door.
Well, it ain't time for the wedding yet, is it?
Granny, I ain't got a collar on yet. Come in. You folks will just have to wait... Well, come in, Squire.
Yes, how are you gentlemen today?
Oh, all right, I reckon.
Yeah, we thought you were a couple wanting to get married, Squire.
Yeah.
just dropped over to talk to you gentlemen a little.
Well, I ain't got time to talk with you, Squire. What is it you want?
I've been hearing that you fellas have opened up a matrimonial bureau here in Pine Ridge.
Yeah, the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau. I'm the president.
Well, for me, and that was a mighty good idea, a mighty good idea. Can't understand why I never thought of it myself.
Yeah.
So you fellas stand to make a lot of money out of that if it's handled right.
Well, now, they ain't no use to beat around the bush, Squire. What are you leading up to?
Well, just to come right out with it, Mom, I've been thinking right smart about this thing ever since I heard about you going into it. Now, just to be honest, you fellas have got something there. But you don't know nothing about a business of this kind. Why, myself, I'm a natural-born promoter. That's been my life work.
Yeah, I know that all right.
I was just thinking, sort of on account of us being such old friends, that I might come in as a third partner in this thing and sort of help you fellas out.
Well, now, that'd be a fine howdy-do, wouldn't it? Us take you in as a third partner when you've got everything we own tied up with attachment papers and lawsuing us here for $4,200.
Well, now, Lum, as far as the lawsuit goes, well, now, that can be handled.
Yeah, what do you mean it can be handled?
Yeah.
Well, I was just thinking now, that suit is set to come up next week. But if you gentlemen want to give me a third interest in this matrimonial agency here, why, I'll just call the suit off. Just withdraw it.
Well, now, here, let me tell you something, Squire. Me and Abner's put confidence in you before.
Yeah.
Time and again, you've come to us and told us on account of us being such old friends, you'd do this or that for us. Now, we've had all the dealings with you we ever want to have. I wouldn't even swap nickels with you. Now, if you want to call the suit off, all right. But as far as being a third partner in this matrimonial bureau, I wouldn't be associated with you in no kind of business. Now, I don't like to be unhospitable to nobody, but the quicker you can get out of my house, the better it'll suit me.
Well, all right, Lum, if that's the way you feel about it. But I'm warning you right now. Don't come around wanting any sympathy when I get that judgment for $4,200 and go to foreclosing on your property. Good day, gentlemen.
Yeah. Well, I maybe made a mistake there, Lum, talking to him that way.
You mean you want him for a third partner?
Well, no, Lum, but it looks like a pretty good way to get out of having that lawsuit. And if he does win it, well, it's going to be awful hard for us to leave our home.
Yeah.
Special, me with Elizabeth and Pearl.
Yeah, never thought about that. I might have sort of flew off the handle, him. I just wished I knowed one thing.
Yeah, what's that?
Where that agreement is that he signed assuming all the obligations of the oil business. If we had that to produce in court, he wouldn't stand a chance in the world winning that case.
Yeah, but if we ain't got it, Lum, there ain't a chance for him to lose, neither.
Yeah, I've got to get dressed now before these folks get there. After the wedding, me and you can sit down and talk this thing all over here. And if we decide it's best to let him in with us on this matrimonial bureau, we can go over there and take him up on his proposition.
Yeah, well, I believe it's the thing to do. I mean, as bad as I hate to have any more dealings with him, I believe it's best.
Mm-hmm. You reckon I ought to take a wet rag and sort of sponge this collar off? Really need a new one. This settlement's turning sort of yellow. Get my frock tail coat off in the wall there, Abner. That's it covered up with them newspapers.
Yeah, I'll see it.
Ain't had that thing on since the day we sold oil well.
No. Well, you were sure dressed up that day, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Get these papers off of
here. That was a good deal I made that day, too. I do say so myself. Smartest thing I done was making Squire sign that agreement that where if anything happened to the oil well, he wouldn't have no comeback on us.
Yeah, and if you hadn't lost it.
Well, it wasn't my fault, Abner. I pinned it right in my coat
pocket. Oh, I know, Lum. I know. I ain't blaming you. No, not at all. Here, slip this on. I'll help you. Try it on for size, sort of.
Much obliged. How do I look?
All right. Why?
Well, I just wondered. I always feel sort of important when I get this out there.
Yeah.
Where's that wedding ceremony I wrote out there?
Oh, yeah.
Think I better slip that in my inside coat pocket, so if I do forget, I can sort of take it out and glance at it.
Be a shame if you was to get them about half married and forget what else you was going to say.
Yeah, I never will forget when I first started Jess as a feast, and it was a young couple come to me to get married, and...
Come to you get married and hot.
Abner. Granny, looky there.
What is it?
Sure, I recollect now. Why didn't I think of that? Yeah, I had this coat on the day I made the deal. The day I sold the oil business. Well, no wonder I couldn't find it. I was looking in the wrong coat.
What are you talking about, Mom?
The agreement that Squire Skimp signed. Here it is right here. It's been in this pocket all the time, and I never once thought about having this coat.
Well, with this important paper back in their possession, the old fellow should have no worries as to the outcome of the lawsuit. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's pay a little visit to the Stevens home. Mrs. Stevens is just returning from her shopping, and we find her talking to her little daughter.
I bought you a present, Dorothy.
What?
You just wait and see. It's in one of those big packages. We'll open it up in a minute. Here, you hold this while I take off this coat.
Oh, let's open my present first. Come on, Mom. You can take your coat off in just a minute.
Oh, all right. Here, you better let me open that. You'll have everything all over the floor.
Oh, let me open it, Mom.
Oh, all right, careful.
Oh, I will be.
There now.
See, I didn't spill anything.
There's your present. That large glass bottle there. Those are Horlick's malted milk tablets.
Oh, thanks, Mom. Are these just like Horlick's malted milk? Why did you buy me tablets this time? Didn't they have any regular Horlick's?
Oh, yes. But you can carry Horlick's tablets to school this year.
To school? Really?
Yes, that's why I bought them for you. Horlick's tablets are just like Horlick's malted milk, dear. The same thing, but in tablet form. You'll love them, I know. Here, just dissolve one or two in your mouth.
Mmm, these taste awful good, Mom.
I know they do. They're awfully good for you, too, dear. When you're at school or out playing, they'll give you nourishment and energy.
Yeah,
keep you from getting too hungry or too tired.
Well, I'm going to tell all the other kids at school about Horlick's tablets tomorrow. I'll bet they'll want their mothers to buy them some, too.
You can't blame them, can you? And I think their mothers will be glad to buy them, too. There isn't anything that helps children develop healthy bodies like Horlick's malted milk, either in tablet or powder form.
And there's a fine suggestion for all you mothers. Let your children carry a supply of those nourishing, energy-giving Horlick's malted milk tablets to school. You can get them, you know, in either natural or chocolate flavor. The small 10-cent size flask can be conveniently carried in a coat pocket, and the tablets come in larger bottles, too. This is Carlton Brickert, speaking for Lum and Abner and Horlick, who now bid you all good night and good health. Ready to take you down to Pine Ridge for another visit with Lum and Abner, brought to you by the makers of Horlicks, the original malted milk. The ease with which it can be digested by the impaired or delicate system makes Horlicks malted milk a wonderful food drink for invalids and convalescents. This easy digestibility is the result of Horlicks' special process of modifying full cream milk with the nutritive extracts of wheat and malted barley. Horlicks is nourishing, energy-giving, just the kind of food the sick person needs to give him strength and aid recovery. Horlicks is a delicious drink, too. Its fine, rich flavor does not grow tiresome, even when Horlicks is regularly included in the diet. A glass full of Horlicks malted milk can be easily and quickly prepared by simply mixing with water. It isn't necessary to add any flavoring or ordinary milk. Just use sufficient of the powder to bring out the wonderful flavor and aroma. Horlick's malted milk can be obtained, you know, in either natural or chocolate flavor at your druggist. And now, let's get ready for Lum and Abner. When Lum and Abner announced over the party line a few days ago that they were opening up a matrimonial bureau in Pine Ridge and offering free advice on domestic problems, little did the old fellows realize the enormous response that they would receive. For the last few days, they've been swamped with letters from everywhere, subscribing to their service and seeking their advice on domestic problems. As we look in on Pine Ridge today, we find Lum and Abner over at Lum's house, where they've been busy all day answering letters. Listen.
Here's one from Crawfordville, Indiana.
Gentlemen,
I heard you talk over the party line the other day, and you said you would help those interested in matrimony. Please help me find a nice young man who would make me a good husband.
Yes.
I prefer a man who lives in the city and would like a tall brunette, but would consider a short blonde.
She ain't very short, you mean.
No. I am enclosing a picture of myself. I am 5'1" tall.
Let me see your picture.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Mm-hmm. All right, pretty, ain't she?
Yeah, no, she oughtn't have no trouble finding her man. And she goes on here, said, I am 18 years old and graduated.
Graduated.
From high school.
Well.
I can cook and take care of a house.
Huh?
Well, that's what it says here in the letter.
Oh.
Please find me a young man as soon as possible. Miss L-R-L-B, it is.
Yeah, put that over there in that stack.
Yeah.
Hey, it's mostly women folks wanting to get married.
Yeah.
Like. What we need here is some letters from men folks.
Well, there's some letters there from men,
though. Yeah, but none of them never sent no pictures of themselves.
No.
These women folks want to see what a fella looks like before they get married.
Yeah.
Love's blind, all that stuff, but not plumb blind.
Well, here's another from a woman here. It says, yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, she ain't looking for no husband. She's just wanting some advice on how to handle the one she's got.
Good. What is she wants to know?
Said, my problem is every morning my husband gets up and sits behind the stove. So when I want to sleep,
Sleep.
When I want to sleep, I have to sweep around him. Could you tell me how to make him move? Yours very truly, L-R-A, East Peoria, Illinois.
Well, that ought to be easy.
Yeah, sure. She just ought to get up early to do her sweeping. She ought to have a house cleaned up before he gets out of bed.
And she ought to take that broom and use it on him instead of the floor. Whop him once.
Well, maybe that's the reason he gets back there, so he can keep the stove between him and her. Yeah, I know just how he feels. I've got behind him myself. I've had Elizabeth chase me around the stove trying to swing a broom at me.
Well, the way this letter sounds, she ain't mad at him, though. He's just in the way back there.
Yeah, well, of course, maybe the backside of the stove is the warmest, too, you know.
She could take and turn the stove around then, so the back of it be in front.
Yeah. All right. Or she could put two front doors on it, and then there wouldn't be no back to it. But that'd be a lot of bother to put herself to, though.
Yeah, let's see. She could make him do the sweeping.
Reckon he'll come out to eat?
Huh?
I say, you reckon he'll come out from behind there to eat?
I don't know. She never said there in the letter.
Well, I just thinking now, she might sort of coax him out with his breakfast, you know, sort of pull him out from behind there like he would a cat with a saucer of milk, you know.
I don't know if I ever heard of a problem like this before. A feller just gets in back of a stove right away and won't come out at all.
Yeah, bet you I'd get him out from behind there. I'd build such a fire in that stove to where he'd have to move.
Yeah, and it'd be too hot for her to sweep back there then.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me see that letter.
Yeah, that's got me stumped. I don't know what to
do. Well, we've got to figure it out somewhere.
Yeah, or two.
She says, every morning my husband gets up and sits behind the stove. So when I want to sweep, I have to sweep around him.
Yeah.
Of course, she could put a swing in back of the stove there to where his feet would be clean up off the floor, and then she could sweep under him.
Well, why don't you just move the stove so far back in the corner that he can't get behind it? She could do that.
And she's liable to set the house on fire, too.
Well, that ought to get him out from behind there anyway.
Well, Abner, she can't burn the house down every morning just to get him out.
No. How would it do for her to just take the stove out, just take it down, not have no stove back?
Could you tell me how to make him move?
Huh?
That's the rest of this letter.
Oh. Well, now, let's see now. How to make him move, huh?
Yeah.
Well, now, that ain't a bad idea, no. If they could move into a house with round rooms in it, why, then there wouldn't be no corners for him to get back in. They could do that.
You ever heard of a house with round rooms in it?
Well, I did. The roundhouse down in the railroad yard at the county seat.
It's well, people right. Don't live in them, Abner. Read some more letters there. I see right now I'm going to have to study over that in a while. There's ways to make that feller move, all right.
Oh, yeah, lots of ways, yeah. She could set off a charge of dynamite under him. That'd move
yeah,
him.
But she don't want to hurt him, Abner. According to the letter, that's the only bad fault he's got. It's just crawling up behind the stove and refusing to move.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's one from A-M-O-R-Y, Mississippi.
Amory.
Yeah, it's from a man. Says he's got 9 children, and all of them like something different to eat.
Oh, yeah.
Can you suggest how my wife can solve this problem as she can't cook 9 different things at every meal.
Oh, well, she could just take what they all like and cook it up together and call it hash. That's easy.
Yeah, she could do that. Now, let's see. Here's a feller from San Antonio, Texas. Well, you read this, Mom. I can't make out that right now.
He must have wrote this with his left hand. Gentlemen, I love my wife very much. But every time we get in a argument, she packs up her clothes and runs home to her mother. Can you help me? Yours truly, John J.W.
Yeah, well, Elizabeth used to do the same thing when we was first married.
You ought to be able to help him then. What did you do?
Why, well, I just had her mother come live with her. That stopped it for a while.
For a while?
Yeah, and then finally, well, her and her mother both packed up and left.
Man, quit you, huh?
Well, they thought they had, but I just packed up and went with them. Yeah, we lived with her folks for about 2 years there.
Well, I ain't going to tell this fella down there in San Antonio to do that.
Well, no, I wouldn't leave them. No, no, Elizabeth's folks wouldn't want perfect strangers to move in on them that way. No. Besides, they've been dead for years, yeah.
Well, I'd love to help this fella. I feel kind of sorrowful for him.
Well, I've tried everything to break Elizabeth. But the best way is to just let them go. They'll come back. They'll break themselves of that habit if you're just not paying no attention to them. They just keep it up just so long, just as long as you run and begging to come back, well, they'll go to their mammy every time.
That's pretty good advice right there. We'll just write him that.
Are you ready for another?
Yeah. Let me have some of them letters over here, too.
Yeah, we never will get through this way. Lord, there's a lot of them.
All these in this stack is wanting us to find my husband, huh?
Yeah, there's some good lookers in there, too. Aren't to have no trouble finding a man at all.
Yeah, but we've got to have some man's pictures to send them. They'd be getting encouraged here.
Yeah, well, here's another one to find her husband.
I see her.
You always want to look at him, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Pretty. Where's she from?
Yeah, Bardwell, Kentucky.
That's too far. Here's one from Hazen, Arkansas.
Hazen, huh?
Two girls writing in. They say, in case we do find a husband for them, they want us to, you see, yeah, they want to get their 6 months free advice.
Well, I do know. Here's one from a woman 82-year-old, huh?
Well, look at this. Well, here's a fella that sent a whole batch of pictures of himself.
Well.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
That looks right smart like you, Abner. Where'd these come from?
Let's see it. Why, that is me. Yeah, that's some picture that I sent in for an auction.
Sent in for?
Yeah, I was in the county seat about a month ago, and a fella had a Kodak right there on the street and just take my picture while I was walking along.
Well, I do know. That's a right good picture of you. Don't look much like you at all.
Yeah, they don't. They turned out uncommonly well. He gave me a special price if I'd take a dozen, so I just ordered a dozen of them.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
I granny, that gives me an idea. Abner, them pictures is just what we was needing. We can send them to these women folks that's riding in looking for husbands.
Well, wait a minute here, Lum. I ain't wanting to get married. I've got a wife and daughter down in Texas now if I can get them back up here.
Oh, well, you don't have to get married. We've got to send them something so they know we're on the lookout for them a husband.
Yeah, well, Lum, I'd heap rather not do that.
Well, Abner, you want to make a success with this matrimonial bureau, don't
well,
you?
Well, yeah, but Lum,
well, we've got to send out some pictures to these women that's looking for husbands or they'll think we can't find them none.
They will.
This'll let them know we're working on it and these'll keep them satisfied so we can get them some more pictures to send them.
Yeah.
You ain't got nothing to worry about. Ain't nobody going to fall in love with a face like that, no how. Give me them pictures. I'll just set right down now and mail out the whole dozen.
Well, we don't know, but we're afraid that Lum has talked Abner into something here that he's going to regret. Ladies and gentlemen, Ford Mallory has just come home from the office. He's hanging up his coat and hat now, and Mrs. Mallory has just come in from the kitchen to greet him. Here they are.
Hello, dear.
Oh, hello, honey.
Did you see Johnny outside?
No, I didn't. Why?
Why, I thought he'd be camped right on the front doorstep. He's got some great news for you.
Johnny has? What sort of news?
Well, his coach told him today that he's to be a regular member of the basketball team from now on.
No fooling. Well, say, that's great, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Yeah. I'll bet Johnny's tickled pink. Yeah, some youngster, huh? Yeah, just like the old man.
Well, I don't seem to remember you as much of an athlete, dear, and I've known you ever since we were in high school together.
Well, there are a lot of things you don't remember.
Don't look so hurt. I didn't mean that.
Well, who is looking hurt?
It is great news, isn't it? I mean about Johnny and the team.
Yeah.
He's so excited. Oh, I'm awfully happy about it. It means everything in the world to him.
Sure, of course it does.
Do you remember how we used to worry about Johnny?
Yeah.
How afraid we were that he'd never be a healthy, normal boy? Well, I can never thank the doctor enough for having told us to give him Horlick's malted milk.
Well, Horlick's has certainly done wonders for him. There's no question about that.
You know, every time I see that husky, muscular little body, that I remember how thin and how frail he used to be.
Yeah, and every time I see him turn around with his pals, I remember how he used to stay in the house all the time. Never seemed to want to play with the other children.
No.
No, and I guess Johnny himself, just as tickled about Horlick's as you and I are.
Yeah.
He certainly loves it, doesn't he?
You know, the minute I see him coming in the kitchen, I know what he's going to ask for. A glass of Horlick's malted milk.
Well, we certainly can't blame Johnny for being so fond of Horlick's. It's a drink that all children love. Made from only full cream milk and the finest of wheat and malted barley. Horlick's is rich in the precious vitamins and mineral elements that help children develop sturdy bodies and sound bones and good teeth. You can get Horlick's, you know, in either natural or chocolate flavor at your druggist. This is Carlton Brickert speaking for Lum and Abner and Horlick's, who now bid you all good night and good health.
Everybody, here we are all ready to take you down to Pine Ridge for another visit with Lum and Abner, brought to you by the makers of Horlick, the original malted milk. It is especially important that growing children get plenty of sound, refreshing sleep. Their young bodies need the relaxation, the tonic of a full night's rest. Now, after a day of unusual excitement or a day of unusual physical exertion, children sometimes are unable to get to sleep easily. They are, as we grown-ups sometimes are, too tired to sleep. Well, that's why a cup of Horlick's, hot, is a fine children's bedtime drink. It relaxes their bodies, soothes them, helps them to fall asleep quickly and sleep soundly. Horlick's is just the sort of nourishing, easy-to-digest food which, if taken before retiring, helps both children and grown-ups to sleep more restfully than if they had gone to bed on an empty stomach. Tonight, before your children go to bed, let them drink a cupful of Horlick's hot. You can get Horlick's, you know, either natural or chocolate flavor at your druggist. And now, let's see what's happening in Pine Ridge. Lum and Abner are having the time of their lives these days. The many interesting letters from friends all over the United States are subscribing to their matrimonial bureau. And the domestic problems the old fellows are called upon to solve are keeping them busy day and night. As we look in on Pine Ridge today, we find Abner over at Lum's house, where they are going through their mail. Listen.
And here's a card from LLH, Indianapolis, Indiana.
Well?
Says there is a girl passes my house every day.
What a man says.
Sometimes she speaks and sometimes she don't. And I would like to know what to do to get better acquainted with her and get her to like me.
Well, I reckon why she speaks sometimes and sometimes she don't.
Yeah, I think the whole trouble here is they ain't been introduced to one another. Some girls are sort of fussy about stitches that, you know.
Well, no wonder she don't speak if she don't know him. It's a wonder if she ever speaks at all.
Yeah, we got to figure out some way for him to introduce himself to her.
Well, why don't he just step out there and introduce himself?
He can't introduce himself and her walking by. He's got to stop her some way or other.
Yeah. Well, now, he might drop his handkerchief, and then when she goes to pick it up, well, No, I tell you what he could do, Rob. He can take and tie a rope across the sidewalk, and then when she sails by his house with her head up in the air, why, she'll step on a rope, and then he can go over and help her to her feet.
No, you better not try nothing like that. I believe the best thing for him to do is just sort of catch up with her and walk along with her ways. Take his hat off his head and say, I don't believe I've made your acquaintance. My name is Lum Eddard. What might yours be?
Oh, no. No, I don't believe that'd do no good, Lum. No. He better use his right name. If he starts out telling her he's somebody else that way, well, they never will get along.
Well, sure, I aim for him to use his right name. I always
Oh, his name is Lum Eddard, too, huh?
No, I just use that as an example. That's what I'd say if I was introducing myself.
Yeah, but you ain't the one that's going to meet her. He wants to know what to do for him to do, not what for you to do.
It don't make no difference what his name is. He knows what his name is.
Why, sure, he knows what his name is, but he's trying to find out a way for her to find out what it is. I still think a rope ride is the best.
Abner, we're going to have a domestic problem here ourselves if we don't quit arguing so much about how to answer these folks' questions. Here, let me have another one of them.
Yeah.
You get me so aggravated, I don't care where we meet the girl or not.
Yeah, here's one here from clean over in South Carolina. Belton, South Carolina.
What's the problem? What do they want to know?
Well, this woman ain't got no complaint. I don't see nothing wrong here.
Well, read it.
I did. I just got done.
Well, read it out loud. I'll decide whether a complaint's justified or not.
And I want a little advice from you about my husband. He wants me to do the housework and look after the farm, too, while he rides around all day. Please tell me what to do. Yours truly, Wah.
Huh?
Wah, W-A-W.
I'm Nichols.
Oh. And he ain't asking her to do no more than her share of that. Just do the farm work, the housework.
That ain't very thoughty of him, though, getting out and riding around while she's there working.
Well, maybe he's just tender-hearted, old home.
Tender-hearted?
Yeah, maybe he just has to get away from the place that way. I know I never could stand to watch my woman work, neither. Special chopping wood. I just have to take Paul out and go down to the barber shop or something till she gets done every time.
Well, if this woman's husband just insists on riding around that way, she ought to get him a job carrying a mail route or driving a D-level wagon.
Yeah.
That's just what I'm going to write and tell her, too. Read another in there.
Well, here, you read them for a while. I can think better when you're reading.
Well, here's a letter from Brohard, West Virginia.
Brohard?
Brohard. B-R-O.
Now, don't spell Brohard. That just spells Bro, B-R-O.
There it is. Look at it.
Oh, yeah.
Says, gentlemen.
Well,
my husband and I get along fine.
Well, that's the first one like that that we've got yet.
Yeah, but he has a bad habit of talking with his hands.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with it?
Why, sure, if they're working for him, he's got to tell them what to do. You take a lot of hard hands that way, they won't do nothing less than you tell them.
His two hands, Abner.
But it don't make no difference how many he's got, Mom. I don't see nothing wrong with talking to him.
He ain't talking about hired hands, Abner. He has two hands, these.
And yours.
I know it. He's talking with his hands, these kind of hands.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
He says he has a bad habit of talking with his hands.
Well, I do know. I don't see what enjoyment he gets out of that. His hands can't understand what he's saying or answer him back or nothing else.
I know they can't.
Looks like anybody would have sense enough to know that. Howdy, Betsy. How are you today? come on, wake up there. Here, how are you?
What in the world are you doing?
I'm just trying that out, Lum. I was talking to my hand here, but it never paid no attention to him. That won't work.
For goodness sake.
I'd just write and tell that woman that if her husband sits and talks to his hands all the time, he's losing his reason.
She never said he talked to his hands. She said he talked with them.
Well, that's worse than ever. She's the same as saying that. His hands answering back. He talks with them.
Well, Abner, she said that, but that ain't what she means at all.
Well, they ought to write what they mean. Probably it's hard enough to figure out without us having to read folks' minds.
Well, what she means is he used his hands to talk with instead of his mouth.
What? You mean to say that he...
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I see right now I said the wrong thing there. He talked with his mouth, but used his hands to make motions with.
Make motions?
Yeah, you saw fellas use their hands that way. Somebody get mad and shake their fist in your face while he's talking to you.
Oh, that's what it is. He wants to fight, huh? Well, I don't blame
him. No, Abner. He don't want to fight.
Well, what's he doing shaking his fist in her face, then? He's in the habit of doing that. Well, she has got a problem. I don't blame her a bit. I don't see how they get along at all.
You shut up for just a minute. I'll read the rest of the letter here.
Shaking his fist on
woman. Get some idea in your head, and it takes a stick of dynamite to move it out.
Well, I don't care. It just makes me mad to see a man bully a woman around that way. I wouldn't no more think of shaking my fist in Elizabeth's face and... No. I reckon I wouldn't. She'd about bite it off her.
He goes on to say here, I don't mind him talking with his hands around the house.
Oh.
Hands around the house. Oh.
Yeah, that's an awful big arm for it, you know what?
With his hands around the house, but when we go out in the car, he takes his hands off the wheel to point out all the spots of interest, and I am afraid he'll wreck the car.
Yeah.
Can you advise me how to break him of this habit? Yours truly, M.M.
Well, I do know. Well.
See, she just wants him to keep both hands on the steering wheel while he's driving the car.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If they get to fighting in the car, I don't tell us what happened.
Abner, I wish you'd get the idea of fighting out of your head.
Well, I ain't want to fight nobody. He's the one that started taking his
fist. Well, I'm
going to
start one here in a minute if you don't shut up. This lady wants to know how to break her husband of talking with his hands while he's driving the car. And we've got to figure out something here to tell her.
Yeah, tell her to tie his hands to the steering wheel. That'll stop him.
Stop him from talking at all. I'd go to point out something and his wife right quick and swing the car right into something. Now, that wouldn't work.
No, I see it wouldn't, man.
Well, what's funny about it?
I was just thinking. What happens if he start away with somebody he knows he's seen on the street? About turn the car clean around right in the middle of the road, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No wonder this lady's rode in. I can see the trouble she must be having with him.
Poor little thing. Poor little thing.
Mike could give him a batch of taffy candy and let him pull that while they're out driving.
Well, I don't know, though, Tom. He'd get that stuck all over the steering wheel, old, and any hands would get stuck there, you know, that'd be worse than ever.
Yeah.
He couldn't turn nothing in.
That'd tie his hands,
sir. Yeah. Well, ain't but one thing that I see to do to a fella like that, Tom.
What?
Just put him in a straight jacket. Doggy, he couldn't use his hands to part with hands and had him.
Couldn't drive the car neither.
No.
Now, we ain't getting nowhere this way. We folks been nice enough to write to our matrimonial bureau, be getting impatient.
Yeah.
We've got 100, 200, 300 problems here.
Why don't you just call up on the party line, Mom? Just tell them that we're having a little trouble, but we'll get to there just quick as we can.
Yeah, I expect I better do that.
Yeah, it's going to be awful slow going. I can see that right now.
Yeah, we can answer what we got here.
Yeah. Man, using a fire alarm right
again. It always gets them to the phone.
Yeah.
Everybody's curious about fires.
Yeah, I reckon so.
This is just a rat, man.
If that fella talked with his hand, they could make him talk over the phone, and he couldn't use his hand, could he?
Oh, for goodness sake, we'll quit talking about that. Hand me that list there.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Howdy, everybody. This is the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau. Ron Edwards, president, talking. Me and Abner's just been covered up with your letters, but we're going to try to get around to answering all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a few answers. Mr. F.W. at Fulton, Kentucky, we're on the lookout for you, a husband. And the five girls at Tuscaloosa, Alabama, we'll do our best for you. And Miss H.P. at Chattanooga, Tennessee, we're going to have no trouble in your case at all. And Patty at Grafton, West Virginia, it's going to be hard to find a man like you're looking for, but we'll try.
Yeah, that's one that want a man to do all the work.
And G.J.S. with that big car, you oughtn't to have no trouble. Now, you girls down in Vandalia, Louisiana, you've got the right idea there. Uncommonly smart young women. And C.M.S. at Sedalia, Missouri, you got a fella already picked out for you. M.J.R. at Davenport, Iowa, yes. Kate at Lincoln, Nebraska, yes. R.B. Richfield. Oh, R.B. at Richfield, New York. Go ahead with your present plan. And Herb at Fort Worth, Texas. You better keep the wife you've got. She's probably a heap better than you deserve. And D. at Wichita, Kansas. Your oil proposition sounds good. I believe you'll bring in a goocher there. Well, that's all the questions for today, folks. We're more likely to ring you up again tomorrow.
Well, the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau is certainly a success. And from the response the old fellows have had, we'd say it's just what this country needed. When busy at work or in your home, it's a good idea to make your noonday luncheon one that is nourishing, yet easy to digest. It's much better for you than the heavy, hard-to-digest meal, which is so apt to leave you feeling drowsy and listless later. Now, you won't find a finer luncheon anywhere than a glass full of Horlicks malted milk. Horlicks is a nourishing and energy-giving food drink, sustaining enough to carry you through the busiest afternoon. A refreshing and delicious drink, too, and one that can be easily digested by the most delicate system. It's a very simple matter, by the way, to make a glass full of Horlicks quickly, either at home or at your work. When mixed with water alone, Horlicks is a tasty, full-flavored drink. Try the Horlicks luncheon tomorrow noon. Overweight people will find it a very effective reducing plan, for Horlicks doesn't have a heavy luncheon excess of calories.
You can get Horlicks, you know, either in the natural or the chocolate flavor at your druggist. This is Carlton Bricker, speaking for Lum and Abner and Horlicks, who bid you all good night and good health. Here we are all ready to take you down to Pine Ridge for another visit with Lum and Abner. Brought to you by the makers of Horlicks, the original malted milk. You know, a fine way to help children keep from getting too hungry or too tired when at school or out playing is to let them carry a supply of Horlicks malted milk tablets. Horlicks malted milk, as you know, is made from rich, full cream milk and the finest of wheat and malted barley. Well, Horlicks tablets have the same qualities which make Horlicks malted milk such a great children's food drink. Horlicks tablets are nourishing, energy-giving, easily digestible by the youthful system. They contain the precious vitamins and mineral elements which help develop healthy, sturdy bodies and strong bones and teeth. And they have a delicious flavor which children love. Horlicks malted milk tablets come in either natural or chocolate flavor. You can get one of the handy 10-cent size flasks or one of the larger sizes at your druggist. And now, let's get ready for Lum and Abner. Well, the old fellows have discovered that operating a matrimonial bureau is no small job. They have received hundreds of applications, and together with the many domestic problems that they've been asked to solve, their new business is consuming practically all of their time. As we look in on Pine Ridge today, we find Abner has just entered Lum's house, reporting for the day's work. Listen.
Well, come in, Abner. I've got a surprise for you.
Well, for the land's sake, what in the world are you doing, Lum? Well, you're going to get paint all over that carpet.
Oh, I'm nearly done now. Just putting on a finishing touches order.
Well, what is it?
It's a sign for a matrimonial bureau. Step over here where you can see it.
Oh, yeah. Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau. I'm at Ed Crad Dance, and
just this
other piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that Indian doing there?
Indian?
Yeah.
That's Cupid. He's fixing to shoot a bow and arrow at that heart over there.
Well, I do know.
Yeah, I sat up till about 9 o'clock last night working on these things.
Well, wait a minute. Here, Long. You got that fellow with the bow and arrow standing on his head there.
No, you're looking at it upside
down.
Well,
I ain't done it. The letters is all right from over here, but he's upside down.
Now, wait a minute, I think. Well, I'll swan to goodness.
Sure he is.
Well, it's too late now. Well, I believe that'll be better anyway. There's a Cupid that can hit them hearts standing on his head.
Well, what's the idea of having a picture of somebody shooting a bow and arrow anyway?
I told you that's Cupid. That's that trademark I told you I was going to figure out first. Cupid is a sign of love.
Yeah.
You know, like they have on Valentine's and such as that.
Well, I never seen nothing like that on a Valentine. That looks more like a picture of some heavyweight wrestler to me.
Yeah. I reckon I did get him looking a little older than he ought to.
Well, how old is he supposed to be?
Well, Granny, I don't know how old Cupid is supposed to be. Just babies, though.
Well, if that's a baby, I'd hate to see him when he gets full grown. That ain't no baby, Lum. Look at them muscles. He's full grown right
now. Well, Abner, if you're going to stand there and make fun of this sign, you can just get out till I get done.
I ain't making fun of it. I'm just telling you how it looks to me. I'll tell you another thing, too. way he's got that arrow pointing there, he's going to miss that heart by about 4 foot.
Oh, well, he ain't ready to shoot yet. He's just taking aim. He'll draw down there straight before he shoots, I reckon.
I thought he was shooting at them birds up there in the far corner at first.
No, no, them love birds up there. See them kissing one another there? Ain't that sweet?
Yeah, I reckon it's all right, but I still think they're going to get shot if they don't move, or that young giant there don't take better aim at that hard one.
Yeah, I wish we had some electric lights to put on it. It'd be the first electric sign in Pine Ridge.
Well, what in the world would we want with electric signs?
Hey, so those folks could read it of a night.
Well, law me, law, everybody's in bed around here by 9 o'clock at night. Wouldn't nobody see it if we did have lights on.
Yeah, but think how nice it looks. We could put a light right there in Cupid's hand. That way it looked like as if he was holding it, sort of.
Well, now, Lon, now let's don't go to no expense on this thing.
Abner, this is a big outfit, this matrimonial bureau is. We can't expect to run a business like this without spending some money and getting started.
Yeah, but where are we going to get the money? That's what I'm talking about. All we got so far is that free board from Sister Simpson. She ain't going to keep that up long if we don't hurry up and find her husband.
Why, the money will just start rolling in here for long.
Well, now, Lon, I'm going to take the first money that rolls in here and send for Elizabeth and Pearl. Get them back home. I'm tired of that.
Well, all right. We'll leave off the electric lights, but I still say it's a good idea, though.
Well, if you're just bound and determined to have a light on it, Mom, I've got a lantern over there to place it you could hang on.
Now, wouldn't that look fine? Wouldn't that look fine, a lantern hanging on a sign?
Well, I'd light it up.
Well, just forget about it. I wish I could think of something to put up there in that corner there. Fill out that blank space there, sort of.
Well, put my name in there. You've got yours down here.
Now, we've got enough reading on there. I was trying to think of some kind of a picture I could draw on it. Something representing love, matrimony.
Well, yeah. Let me see now. You wouldn't want to draw my picture on it, I don't reckon, would you?
Your picture? Yeah. Representing love?
Well, I just sort of trying to think of something to, you know, and put on it. I just happened to think of myself. I reckon it's called out sitting here and all.
Wait a minute, I know what I'll do. I'll put some wedding bells up there. And that way I got all four corners took care of.
Yeah.
There's a cupid, and the wedding bells will go right up there, and the heart and the lovebirds. There's a work of art, you know it. I ought to have been an artist.
Yeah, it would have helped them. Could have did better, all right.
I reckon they'll know who drawed this, stop me putting my name on there.
Well, now, it might be best for you to put your name on there again, Lum. I don't want nobody thinking I done it.
No, we wouldn't want nobody. Huh?
Nothing.
I just put drawed by right there over my name. That'll set any arguments about the matter. Drawed by Lum Edwards, President and Justice of the Peace.
Now, Lama, what's he going to do with it when he get it done?
Why, we're going to put it up in the front of the Jot 'em Down store down there. We're moving our office.
Moving?
Yeah, this ain't no place to run a matrimonial bureau here in a house this way. Down there in that store building, there we'll have plenty of room.
Yeah, Lord, we'll be lost in that place, Lon. All we need is somewhere to open up a letter and answer them.
We've got to have a place to file all these applications for husbands and wives, though. Them shelves down there will be the very thing.
They will.
Why, sure. We'll put the men that's looking for wives on one side of the store and the women that's looking for husbands on the other.
Yeah.
Put the blondes in on one shelf and the brunettes in another. And
yeah.
The tall ones in one place and the short ones somewhere else.
Yeah.
Divide all up that way so when we get an order for a husband or a wife, we can see what kind they want and go right to them. Filing system, sort of.
Hey, doggies, now, that ain't a bad idea, you know. Just like selling stuff out of the store, ain't it?
Why, sure. Get an order, and instead of reaching up and getting a can of tomatoes, we'll just reach up and get a blonde for them.
You mean if somebody ordered a can of tomatoes, we'll send them a blonde?
No, I just said tomatoes. I mean it's the difference between running the matrimonial bureau and running the store.
Oh, yeah, I see. I thought you were
coming. Somebody there at the door. Come in.
Well, howdy, Dick.
Well, Dick Huddleston, come in.
Howdy, howdy. How are you fellas today?
Oh, just only tolerably, Dick. How's yourself?
I smell turpentine in here.
Yeah, I've been doing a little painting here. See how you like our new sign, Dick?
Yeah, yeah. Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau, drawn by Lon Edwards, President and Justice of the Peace. Yeah, that's all right, huh? what's this supposed to be here, Cupid?
Yeah, see there, Abner? Dick guessed it the first time.
Yeah, I told Lon it looked more like a heavyweight wrestler.
Well, he is pretty husky, all right. Well, that's not bad, though, Lon. Not bad.
I figured him shooting so many arrows that way, he sort of developed his muscles.
Well, here's some more mail for you fellas. Come down here to the store a while ago. Most of it's best to the fine rig matrimonial bureau.
Yeah, well, much obliged, Dick. Thank
you. These letters here are for you, Abner.
For me?
Wait a minute, you mean all them for Abner?
Yeah, they're addressed to Abner Peabody, taking care of the fine rig matrimonial bureau.
Wait a minute here. Abner, you ain't been going around telling folks you're the president of the matrimonial bureau or nothing like that, have you?
Why, no.
Well, open them up. Let's see who'd be writing you. And can't all be from Elizabeth.
Oh, no. This ain't her handwriting at all, no.
Well, go ahead and read it.
Says, dear Mr. Peabody, I received the picture and the description the Pine Ridge Matrimonial Bureau sent of you. I am very much interested in you and would like to correspond with you. Will you tell me more about yourself? You remind me so much of my grandfather. Yours truly, Maxine Norton, Holdenville, Oklahoma.
Yeah, I do. Remind her of her grandfather.
Well, what does she mean that she received Abner's picture and description?
Well, I tell you, Dick, we kept getting these letters from women folks wanting us to find them a husband, and we never had no pictures of men to send out, so we sent out a bunch of pictures of Abner that he had here at the house.
Well, now, listen, Lum. You're liable to get Abner in some serious trouble if his wife's gone and everything.
Oh, I don't think anything ever come of it.
Oh, my goodness. Now we've been it, Lum. I told you. What's the matter with you? Read that. Just read
it. Well, let me have it. Turn it loose. My dearest darling Abner.
Oh, my.
I received your picture and fell in love with you at first sight. You are the man of my dreams.
Oh.
Wait for me, darling. I will be in Pine Ridge within the next few days. Oodles of love, Hortense
Kelly. Oh, my goodness.
Well, if Hortense Kelly is coming to Pine Ridge to see Abner, it's a mighty good thing that Elizabeth is out of town. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Tarpey is rummaging around in the kitchen of his home. I wonder what he's doing out there. Let's look in on the scene for just a minute.
Oh, I wonder where Martha keeps that package of Horlicks. It used to be right on this shelf. Oh, this is... Oh, hey, Martha. Martha, come here a minute, will you please?
What are you bellowing about?
About this. Now, what's this?
It's a package of malted milk. One look at the label ought to tell you that. Well, what about it?
Didn't we go over this about 6 months ago?
Why, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I remember. You mean about Horlicks and imitations of it. Well, I'll tell you, dear. I was in Smith's drugstore yesterday. No, it was the day before yesterday. I went downtown with Jane Wilson yesterday. She was asking about you, Jim. Said that she...
Now, let's skip all that just now. What was the idea of bringing this but not Horlicks?
Well, I saw a chance to save a few pennies. You're always talking to me about economy. Well, only last night, for instance, you said that...
Why do you always have to economize on things you buy for me? Besides, you missed the whole point of that economy lecture of mine. You will remember that I said to you that...
Oh, let's not go all over that again.
No, well, all right. Now, look, Martha. You know that I don't like anything but Horlicks. I never have. Horlicks costs a bit more than cheap substitutes, yes. But that's because it's worth more, a good deal more. Why do you want to throw money away on a thing like this? Won't you please remember to always get Horlicks?
Of course I will, dear. I'm awfully sorry I forgot this time. Honestly, I'll never do it again. I'll take that package back to Smith and exchange it for Horlicks. I'll go right now. Maybe you'd like to walk along with me.
Yes, I'll go with you. Oh, Smith, huh? I guess I have a talk with old man Smith, too. Leave him instructions never to sell you anything but Horlicks. Then I'll be protected in case you ever have another lapse.
Well, it looks like that cheap imitation of Horlicks caused plenty of trouble in the Tarpey family. You'll have to give Jim credit, though, for knowing what he wants. He knows that you just can't find a substitute for Horlicks. Knows that only Horlicks, the original malted milk, gives you full return for your money, not only in its unexcelled flavor, but also in its food value. You can get Horlicks, you know, either natural or chocolate flavor, at your druggist. This is Carlton Brickert, speaking for Lum and Abner and Horlicks, who bid you all good night and good health.
Thank you for listening to and showing your support for my podcast. If you would like to receive notifications of when new episodes are posted, please subscribe to my channel. Subscriptions are 100% free, and they really help me get an idea of how I'm doing. Well, hope you enjoyed, and until next time, stay safe, wish you well, and as always, peace.